So God, again, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, for the blood that was poured out for us, taking our place, what we deserved. Because of our sin, God, you did that for us. And so God, in this moment, we remember and we are full of gratitude because that just opened up everything, God. It opened up our way to you. It opened up a life of purpose and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. And God, just, God, you gave us so many gifts when you gave us Jesus. We thank you. It's in his name we pray. Amen. How many of you have seen Inside Out? Yes, lots of kids' hands and adult hands, absolutely. So joy, sadness, anger, fear, disgust, all characters that we know oh so well, not just because those emotions go on inside of us, but also because we saw many of them displayed in this blockbuster movie this summer. My favorite character actually was Bing Bong, which wasn't actually an emotion at all. If you saw the movie, he's actually... I wrote all this down because I wouldn't remember it. He's actually, kids help me out, he's part elephant, part cotton candy, part kitten, part dolphin. He cries pure candy, and he drives around on a motorized wagon that has music playing out of it, and that's just cool. No matter who you are, unless you're 46 and he is your imaginary friend, and that's a problem. But the other characters, you know, they lead us down all kinds of paths, right? And some of them are good paths, and some of them are not so good paths, some healthy, some not. And so we're going to talk a little bit about emotions, about attitude, about mood. How many of you are just in a great mood and attitude every day, all day long? Yes? Okay. And I see those liars. That's good. And we're actually be talking about truth later on this summer. And so look forward to seeing you in that sermon. No, we don't, and our spouses know it, and our kids know it, and our parents know it. In Pixar world, it's interesting because all of our attitudes, our emotions, our mood, it's all kind of controlled by these levers and knobs that are pushed by these wonderful, beautiful, imaginary characters. We could spend a whole month on each one of the emotions listed in the movie, but we're going to go deeper than that. We're going to go deeper than just a single imaginary or a single emotion. We're going to take it all the way to what we kind of love to do around here when we display different types of sermon experiences for children. We're going to take it all the way down to food. That's how deep we're going to go, okay? And I know last week, Brandon did a little cake mixing for you. I know back in December, I did a little cake and pizza action. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to take it to the blender because I believe you can learn a lot from a blender. You just can't. What I wanted to do was get some volunteers, though. Are there two kids that would really like to help me? I see that hand. That hand went up faster than... And I see that hand way over here. Yeah, come on up. Yeah. And come on up. Yep. Shoes or not, doesn't matter. Come on. That's fine. Come on up. We're gonna introduce you guys to everybody. And what we're going to do is we're actually going to use my two friends here. Now we have not talked about this beforehand, right? This is a brand new. This is just, you know, you're just up here just because you are two of the coolest kids in the room, right? And so tell everybody your name. Will. This is Will. Get up for Will. Yes. And Annabeth, right here, Annabeth. All right. And so we're talking about three different words, okay, when it comes to our attitude. And God's word is going to help us understand a little bit more about our attitude. You guys have great attitudes all the time? Yes? Sometimes? Okay. And all the time. So there we go. And, you know, I'm thinking that we can all do better in this area, but I think God's word has a lot to say about it. His word actually has to say a lot of things regarding three different words that we're going to look at. One, that our attitude really is created, that God creates that attitude. We allow him to create that attitude inside of us. It's also chosen. We choose that attitude, and it's also contagious. Just kidding. And so it's contagious, and we're going to talk about that. But before we get to all of that, we're going to jump into the first one. Right? Which is, were y'all listening? You got it? What was the first one? Chosen. Give it up for right here. No, that's not right, actually. It's created, but so close. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to do created first, and we're going to use the blender as an example. And so one of the things that we love to do in our house is make smoothies. Y'all drink smoothies? Yes? Anybody else drink smoothies in the house? Yes? Yes, because we live in Fire Mountain, and we're all so healthy, we can't hardly even live with ourselves. So we do smoothies a lot. And so what I've done before this ever even started today was I pulled out some ingredients that are often in our smoothies at our house, which is pineapple, strawberries, blueberries. You got a problem so far? Good so far? Okay, all good. Yeah. Annabeth's like, are you kidding me? I live on that. And we've got some bananas here. And I also do some juice as kind of like just kind of get it all going good in there. And then I also throw in some yogurt. All right, pretty easy. And what I've done here is actually made one ahead of time. And so I'm going to, just to let you see that I'm not like trying to pull one over on you. That is like seriously better than Smoothie King. I'm just telling you right now. Amazing. And so Annabeth, ladies first, I'm going to offer this to you because you were honest and said you're not always in a good mood. Okay, come on, let's go this way. And give it up for Annabeth. She got the free smoothie. You can share it with friends, family, whatever. It's all good. Will, we've got some talking to do here. Let's just imagine for a minute that you came over to our house on, what grade are you in? Third, going into fourth or going to third? Third, fantastic. So you're right in the mix there with our kids. And let's just say that you came over for a play date. It's the summer. We live right across the street from a pool. And so y'all are hanging out at the pool and everything. And you're thinking in your mind, I really hope, I mean, I'm at the Riggins. What I want more than anything else is one of their world famous smoothies, right? You're thinking that in your head. I mean, you're playing in the pool, but you're thinking that in your head. And you get to the point where finally you hear me say, all right, it's time for a snack. And you're thinking, yes, it's a Riggins fruit smoothie. I love those things. I've never had them, but I know I will. And so you come over and you watch me and I'm getting ready to make it, right? And so I look into the refrigerator and freezer and I'm looking for the fruit. I'm looking for the fruit. I'm looking for the fruit. I don't see any fruit because we forgot to go to Sprouts. That's kind of sad, isn't it? It is so very sad. But I'm like, you know what? That is not going to sway me at all. As a matter of fact, I've got some other things that will work for sure. I've got some Coke Zero that I found. And so we're going to put that in our fruit smoothie. Is that enough? You like Coke Zero? Okay, good. And then I also found, oh yes, I found a half-eaten bag of sour cream and onion chips. So we're going to put that in there. Because you need like, I mean, it needs to be, have some body. This gives you body. For some of us, it gives us too much body. All right. And so you do that. And then I'm thinking, you know what? Will came over for the fruit smoothie. He needs healthy. I couldn't find any fruit, but I found some turnip greens. And so I'm going to put that in there because that's healthy. I'm not even going to ask you if you like those because I know you do. And then, you know, a little bit of protein goes a long way. We've got that egg in there. That's going to go really, really well. And then finally, because if for no other reason, we just love the smell, I found some Spam. And because nothing goes in a fruit smoothie better than Spam. It doesn't even want to go in the smoothie. Nobody in here wants it to go in the smoothie. Y'all starting to smell that? Some people are leaving and going to Valley Creek right now. We're going to go ahead and fill this up the rest of the way here just because we can. And I'm not sure it's going to go around if it doesn't. and then, Will, what we're going to do is, and I made sure of this, I actually picked a blender that doesn't go unless the top is secure for me and for you. We're going to start that puppy up there. There we go. So you really like fruit smoothies? Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's good enough because really it doesn't matter. It's really good, Will. All right. So I go, you know what, Will? Listen. You've been waiting for it. Here it is, my friend. Is there somebody you don't like you want to give it to? For playing the game, give it up for Will right now. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Oh my. For years and years and years now, even before Steve Jobs, I'm not sitting that over there by me. Am I crazy? The programming term garbage in, garbage out has been in our vernacular. Beauty in, beauty out, positive in, positive out. He did not get the fruit smoothie at first because fruit was not put in. We often live with kind of sour attitudes in the course of a day because what we've been feeding ourselves is not putting us toward an attitude that is going to be pleasing to God or others. And the crazy thing is we live our lives expecting to have a fruit smoothie, but instead we've got that. And I think one of the things that we've got to get a grasp on is that attitude really is created. I mean, you saw this up here. You were looking at this and you're going, Randy, that's scary. Randy, you're scary. Randy, we're never sending our kids to your house for a play date. But you know what? There's a simple principle at stake here that is so very important for us, whether we are parents or kids, and that is, what are we feeding ourselves and our families? What does it really look like? I remember the truck pulling up in front of our elementary school, and it would pull up there, and on the front of the truck, I don't even remember what they were actually putting into the cafeteria, but it said, you are what you eat across the side of the truck. And I remember as a kid thinking, I love tacos. I'm not a taco. I didn't really understand the concept. Now, I know our middle school mission trip is about to head off to Santa Fe. And, you know, if I'm not preaching right now, I would love to be on that van because I think I am a little bit blue corn enchilada. But I'm not a taco. Now, some of you will go, no, of course, that's not the way that the truck meant that expression to be taken. Actually, it has everything to do with eating healthy stuff. We live a healthy life. Diet is full of unhealthy stuff. We are that way. What we feed our hearts and minds and souls is what comes out of our lives. That's why David wrote in Psalm 1, follow with me on the screen. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. What is he saying there? He's saying, listen, you dive into God's goodness as you dive into his word, as you hang out with him in his presence. Adult, kid, student, and your life produces good things. What goes into that life blender of ours comes out in a really amazing way. Kids, some of you have been thinking, yep, you know what? My parents have said, I need to change my attitude. Spouses, some of you have said to your spouse, I wish they would change their attitude. Here's the reality. God has a desire to create in us a clean heart, and out of that clean heart produce an attitude that is pleasing to him and to those around us and honoring to God. There are great resources out there. If you go to our website, the church's website, and you go to the family ministry page, what you'll see is there's actually a resource page, a family resource page that's attached to that, that has a lot of great resources for the family. I would encourage you to look that up. But you know what, even if you don't go there and you just want to go to Mardell or Lifeway or someplace, or go online and just start looking around or ask different friends, call our office, ask us. There are some great resources for your family and for your kids to jump into a habit of spending time with God alone each day, regardless of the age, that sets us into a habit that prepares us for the craziness of life that's going to hit whenever school starts again, you see. Chosen. Not only are attitudes created, but they're also chosen. In the movie, joy, anger, sadness, fear, disgust, here's what happens. They chose Riley. They had the levers. They had the knobs. They were moving her, steering her through life in different ways. But the reality is, that's not the movie of our life. The reality is, in real life, we have the opportunity, every one of us, to choose joy. It's not that we're waiting for joy to choose us. We choose joy. And the way that we do that is if we know Jesus as Savior and friend, we have access to joy 24/7. We have access to joy because the Holy Spirit lives in us regardless of the circumstances that we're in. And so in the movie for Riley, here's what it was. If you haven't seen the movie yet, the little girl Riley, she was actually moved to a new location because her dad got a new job. And so here comes the family moving to San Francisco, a new city, a new house that's not very appealing, a new school, new friends, new everything, new ice hockey team that she's a part of. But that may not be your situation. You may have lived here for a long time or in your same house your whole life. Maybe it's a difficult time that your family's going through, a difficult time at work, a difficult time because of lack of work or a serious illness. There are so many circumstances in our lives that seek to steal away our joy. But if we know Jesus as Savior and friend, we have a choice. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Here's a worship leader that's writing in Psalm 42. And it's interesting that this worship leader is just kind of, doing as worship leaders do. I mean, very, hard on their sleeve here. No, I'm just kidding. Just kind of letting it all out. All right. And here comes his worship leader going through a rough time. Says, day and night I have only tears for food while my enemies continually taunt me saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession in the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration. He's going, listen, this is all of what used to be. And right now, people are taunting and jeering. And he uses words to describe his situation like he's in grief and there are tears. And it's not tears of joy. He's in great emotional pain. And it gets to the end, and after sad, discouraging, crying, grief, heartbreaking, tears, all of that's described, we skip all the way down to verse 11. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then he says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. He makes a choice. In the midst of the circumstances, he makes a choice. Choosing joy. It is throughout Scripture. Remember Scripture in the Psalms says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, unless somebody really makes us angry. Oh, that's not what it says. Paul in Philippians says, rejoice always, unless it gets really difficult on Monday. No, that's not what he said. You say, well, Randy, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Matter of fact, 4 days out of the last week I did. I can't help it. Jesus helps it. There is an answer. Joy, a deep, settled confidence that a loving Heavenly Father is in control of anything I face today. Joy is not a smile on my face 24/7. It is not happiness. Some people equate those two words side by side. They're not the same. Happiness has everything to do with our circumstances. Joy has to do with the confidence that God, who is bigger than everything, who sees everything, really is in control, regardless of what circumstance I'm in. For Riley, she's in a new location. But what do we allow to steal our joy? Maybe we're late for work. Maybe $24.99 is 17 feet underwater. Maybe we spill our coffee on the way out the door. Maybe someone comes over for a play date and breaks our favorite toy. Maybe a friend is arguing about us with something that we know is wrong and we win the argument, but we lose our joy. Maybe we're doing a chore that just really isn't our favorite. Maybe we're getting into a disagreement with our spouse or we find out there's less money in our account than what we thought there was going to be. Or maybe the teenager in our home has just made a really, really bad decision. How do we deal with it? Joy in spite of. Joy anchored in my trust in God in the midst of it all. It steers me into an attitude that becomes attractive to others, that honors God, and that is powerful against the enemy. Some of you have seen this little story before. You've read about it. Maybe you've seen it acted out. But the little boy is overheard by his mom playing baseball in the backyard. He's just kind of playing with himself, right? And he throws the ball up. Swing! He misses. He takes it again. He says, no, I really am the greatest home run hitter of all time. And he swings and he misses. He looks at it one more time and he says, but I am the greatest home run hitter in the entire baseball world. Swings and he misses. He starts to walk away. He pauses for a minute and he says, I am the greatest pitcher of all time. Because you see, it wasn't about the circumstances. It was about his attitude. It was a perspective. It was recognizing something else that set the page of our lives? Does God set that page? Does he do that for us? We go back to the truth that if we know Jesus as Savior and friend, we have access to joy 24/7. What's that verse say in Romans 8, 5, and 6? It's on the screen. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. If I put junk in, you know what I'm going to think about? I'm going to think about junk. If I put in something else, it's going to look like something else. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life. I think as we think about things that are chosen, even for our families, we have to be so very careful, right? Because the things that we watch and the things that we go to and the things that we purchase and the things that we experience as families in this culture, they go into the blender of our lives. They go into our mind and heart and spirit. And they all have messages attached to them, right? They have messages possibly related to materialism or lately the hot topic, as Ron spoke about last week, human sexuality, about a worldview that may or may not be God's view of this world. And we have all of this stuff pouring into the blender of our mind and quite specifically the minds of our children, thinking that somehow it's not going to come out or that it doesn't impact them. The reality is, we get to high school years and college years and our kids start to make choices because that stuff starts to pour out. And because we haven't filtered what was in the kitchen, we become so very surprised with the result. Why? Do we not see the correlation? Do we not see that there are a lot of choices that we make as parents, as kids, that have everything to do with not only the choices we make, but also with the attitude that we have? Attitudes, they're created. They are chosen. And this is where we pause before we get to the last C word, which is contagious, and our last word for the morning. And I would just say to you that for some in this audience, you're offended right now. You feel pretty insulted. Because what you're thinking about is, you know what, Randy, you don't have a clue what I've been going through, what my kid's been going through. It's been a very dark time, and we're in a spiral right now, and it's something we're not getting out of. This is difficult. And what I will say to you is, please don't do that alone. We've got some great people that we can help get you connected to that help walk people through those dark places. All right, I would encourage you to take the card of the seat in the seat back in front of you and just write down something. You don't have to write down your whole life story, but just let us know, hey, I want to get connected with somebody that can help me in a dark place. Because you know what? We want to be able to be the connection church that helps you get there. Sometimes we just need some extra help from other people to find the joy that God says is already there. The last one, contagious. Oftentimes when we think about that word contagious, it has negative connotations, right? Our family was on a mission trip about 10 years ago to the UK. We were staying with a pastor friend of mine, as well as some other people on our team. We were all in his house. It was a pretty large house. Day two of the 10-day mission experience there in the UK, and the pastor's family comes down with a highly, highly contagious stomach bug. When I say highly contagious, I mean by about day five of the trip, all of his bathrooms were being used simultaneously. It was not the most blessed experience. It was like dueling puke, right? I mean, just you could hear in other places, and it was awful. It was like I go there, it's a dark place for me, thinking about it. We can go to dark places when we think about contagious or that word, but what if we think of it in a positive way? I want you to look at a partner right now. Look at him in the face. I want you to look at them. Choose one of you to be smiley face, one of you to be sour pants. Smiley face, sour pants. Look right now. Right now, I want smiley face to try to get sour pants to smile on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Some of you won't even look at each other in the eye because you know you're awful at this game. Okay, switch positions. One of you is smiley face. The other one is sour pants. Switch. You got 10 seconds now to try to make the other person smile. One, two, three, go. All right. So something else is contagious. It's a smile. You know, joy is contagious. A joyful life is an attractive life. Paul says to Philemon, he says, listen, Philemon, your life has been a refreshment to me. It has been a, he's saying, Philemon, this has been your life for me and a host of other people. When he's writing to the Philippians, he says, listen, here's what's crazy. You ready for this, Philippians? Listen, your life, or I'm sorry, the Corinthians, he says, listen, your life is a letter. It's a letter that people are reading. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says to them these words, the only letter of recommendation I need is you. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tables of stone, but on human hearts. Your life is a letter. It's contagious. People are reading it. How are people reading your life? Kids, how are they reading it? Adults, at work, what are they reading? What's your spouse reading right now? What are your kids reading when they see your life? Is it this? Is it that? My guess, it has everything to do with the first two words, what we're allowing God to create in us and what we're choosing along the way. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We're going to close the service by just doing a heart check. Some of you go, you know what? I've shown up here, and what I'm really doing is just kicking the tires, trying to figure out, is Christianity real? Is God really real? Does he really make a difference? What I will say to you is when the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of you because you say yes to Jesus for the very first time, you have access to purpose in life. You have access to love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. And I'm not saying that every Christian that you meet exhibits all of that all the time, but I will say as we stay connected to him and allow his Spirit to do the work in our life, we have access to that all the time. We don't have to ask him for it. Oh God, please give me patience right now. No, he's already given you patience through the salvation that came through Jesus Christ because the Holy Spirit has set up residence and offers that fruit to us 24/7. So, if you're considering Christianity, can I just say to you right now, that's the best decision you'll ever make for this life and the next. Some of you have been waiting a long time for joy to choose you. That's the wrong movie. That is Inside Out. Not the movie of your life. Not the movie of my life. God has written a script before the foundation of the world. And that script says that he chose you. He chose you. This is what I understand scripture to say in 1 Timothy 2:3-6. This is good and pleases God our Savior who wants everyone to be saved. What does he want? He wants everyone to be saved. You follow on at verse 6. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever. Can I just say to you right now that you are everyone. You are whoever. So what my personal theology says, what I understand, is that he chose us before we ever knew that we were us. And he invites you now to take a step forward and to walk in that joy, to walk in the joy of salvation, to walk in the joy of an attitude that looks so very different. I was asking my kids this morning, did that make sense last night? And they kind of helped me refine some things and work through some things this morning because I really wanted to make sure that we understood the point together that what happens inside this blender of life impacts those around us. What we pour into it has impact. Whether we spend time with Jesus or not, whether we allow that connection to take root in our lives, impacts whether it's that cup or that cup. Father, thank you for loving us so very much that you sent Jesus to be the one that makes the difference in our life today and forever. And so God, right now, even as we move into this time of offering, as we give, God, for some of us, I realize you're working on hearts right now about giving our life to you, giving everything. So God, however you choose to do that, as we take up offering, as we give, as we worship in this way, God, move in our heart right now. Allow us to see that gift that you gave, that we celebrated through the communion moment as the gift that also keeps on giving with an attitude, regardless of the circumstances, that draws others to you.